Book of James, James chapter number 4, James chapter number 4 this evening. Book of James is a wonderful book of the Bible, very practical. Lots of times people compare certain books of the Bible with Old Testament books with New Testament books and the practicality that's found in the book of Proverbs. Many people compare this book of James with it because of the, just it's chock full of things that are just applicable to our lives. And tonight, the title of tonight's message is Before It's Too Late. Before It's Too Late. I know that, as a pastor, many times you think a lot and you meditate a lot, and with Mr. Bobby's homegoing as being a shock and being a surprise to all of us, you know, the Lord gets kind of laid this upon my heart to just go through some of these things about taking care of things before it's too late. And Mr. Bobby was a great guy, and this is no way in reference to him. It is this idea that life is short and we are not promised tomorrow, and sometimes we put things off. Sometimes we procrastinate. A lot of us do that. A lot of Christians do that. And if you get to the last verse in this chapter, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, I really think if we were honest with ourselves, there's some things that we've been putting off that we just think, hey, I can do it someday, but that someday may never come. So I'm wondering tonight, as I was thinking and praying, as the Lord has helped me with the sermon and the message, my hope is that at the end we would say, you know what, if there's something I should take care of, let's do it now. Let's do it tonight. Let's do it tomorrow. If there's someone I need to ask forgiveness from, let's do that now. If I have bitterness in my heart, let's take care of that. If God has told me to go and speak to someone about being saved, let's not put those things off. If I plan on someday starting my walk with God or reading the Bible more or praying more or memorizing scripture, let's make sure we do it before it's too late. I'm not that old. I haven't been in the ministry as a lot of preachers have for many more years than I have, but I've been around people that have gone off on the scene, and many times the regret is those that stay behind. I wish I would have done this or said that. And those thoughts run through your mind all the time, even if it's someone who they knew was getting ready to go home and to be with the Lord. You know, wish you could have done this way or that way, or I wish I was there. I wish, you know, there's a lot of regret sometimes that people have. And I'm not really talking about those little things at the end. I'm talking about the things that we know we should be doing that we have just put off in the future and say, I got plenty of time to do this. I got plenty of time to serve the Lord. I got plenty of time to prepare for the future, all those different things. The Bible says in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So this idea and this thought, and I think you can fill in the blanks lots of times, before it's too late, I need to. And whatever that might mean for you may be different for me, but let's not procrastinate in things. And it's a wonderful passage of scripture concerning this. It's found in James chapter number 4. We're going to read verses 14 through 17, and then we're going to talk about some facts about our future. The first point is facts about our future. James chapter number 4, verse 14, the Bible says, actually, we're going to start in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gained. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, it has so many meanings and so many messages to us. Lord, I pray that you take the words and the verses that are said tonight and apply them to our hearts. have our hearts and ears ready to hear from you. And Lord, that if there's something in our life that we've been putting off, thinking that we have plenty of time, but Lord, if we've been led and directed by you, help us to understand our future we're not in control of. And Lord, that it's uncertain. We know that you're in charge of all things, but Lord, as you lead us and guide us, help us to just faithfully do what you called us to do and not put things off. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So point number one is the facts about the future. And the first thing I want you to see is our future is uncertain. Our future is uncertain. Look what it says in verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And the Bible talks about boast not thyself tomorrow. Our future is uncertain. Obviously, God knows everything, and God knows how everything is going to work out, but he doesn't reveal that to us. People pay a lot of money to psychics and astrologers to try to predict the future, and nobody knows the future. I remember reading the story as I was studying. It talked about an old-time traveling preacher that lived many years ago, and he had gone, and he went into this new town, and the gypsy woman said, if you give me a piece of silver, I'll tell you about the future. And he said, let me get this right. If I give you a piece of silver, you're going to tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. And she said, yes. He says, you're really going to be able to tell me what's going to happen tomorrow? And she says, not just tomorrow, next week too. And he said, I will give you two pieces of silver if you can tell me what I did yesterday. They can't. They can't tell what they had yesterday. You know, he had went to a different town, never met this woman. He says, look, you can't even tell me what I did yesterday. How are you going to tell me what I'm going to do in the future? This verse speaks about the brevity of life and the uncertainty of human life. This is a theme that permeates throughout the scriptures. It's mentioned over and over in the book of Job. And the brutal truth of it is, that none of us know when we will reach the end of our lives. Nobody does. And, you know, that's a complete reality that we are facing as a church family. And we just do not know when our lives will end. You take a walk through a cemetery and you know, there's some that get to live that 70, 80, 90, 100 years, but there's some that don't even make it to year number one. And we got to remember this. You say, Pastor, what do you get? Before it's too late, we need to make sure we're doing what God's called us to do. Before it's too late, before we have a regret that we wish we would have done or changed or did this or did that, before it's too late, we got to remember this fact about our future. Our future is uncertain. Next thing I want you to think about is our future is uncontrollable. Look what it says in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, it sounds like they're making plans for the future. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think there is. The Bible commends us. The Bible tells us that even commends the ant that prepares for it. And I don't think that's what they're saying, that is that we can't prepare for the future. But if you read this context and you think about this, it seems like this person is making their plans and they are leaving God out of it. They are making all these plans. They have all these things for our future and they think that they're in control. In all reality, our futures change without without anyone consulting us. We're totally helpless when it comes to the changing of anything. And people plan for the future, and I think they should. They even think about retirement and talk about saving and being ready. But the question is, are we consulting God when it comes to this? I tell you, it's important that when we look at our future, you know, I plan this and I plan this and I plan that. And I think our young people, and I enjoy hearing what the young people are going to do. We got some people that are graduating this year. And, I ask them and encourage them, okay, where are you going to go to college or what is your plans? And I try to talk to them and encourage them the right way. And, you know, those things are all good. We should be planning for the future. But if we don't ask God, there's a problem with that. And we need to consult God. He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. He's the one that knows how long we're going to be in this earth. He's the one that knows what he has planned for you and his will. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan, but in this passage of scripture, you say, why would they give this businessman a hard time? It seems like he's just making a plan. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go into the city and we're going to continue there a whole year. We're going to buy these things for this much and then we're going to sell it for this much and we're going to make this much money. All those different things are applicable. And all those other things are important, but you see there's somebody left out in this equation. It's God. You know, missing God's plan or missing God's will is a complete failure for a Christian. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Failure is succeeding at the wrong thing. Failure is succeeding at the wrong thing. You can be really, really good at something, but if you miss God's will, we miss the whole reason why we're here. The third thing I want you to think about is, you know, not only is our future uncertain, and not only is our future uncontrollable, because we cannot control, we like to be in control of things, but God's the one that controls it. Our future is controlled by God. Look what it says in verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So we see here, here's a concept that we're supposed to acknowledge. This is something we're supposed to go, okay, this is supposed to be in our life here. We're supposed to say, okay, if this is what God wants, then this is what I will do. People say the phrase, Lord willing. Sometimes I say to somebody, you know, see you in church tomorrow. And they say something like, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And I tell them that we don't have many creeks around here, but we have a bunch of ditches. So in Elizabeth City, we should say, Lord willing, and the ditches don't rise. And, you know, but there is a concept that we're supposed to accept. When we're considering this thought, you know what, before it's too late, what do I need to do? I need to understand our future is controlled by God. So if God is leading me and directing me to go and do this, I need not to wait. I need to let God lead me and guide me. It's about walking with God. It's about letting Him lead us and letting Him guide us and not trying to get ahead of Him, not trying to slow Him down with us resisting. It's walking with Him. And we need to accept this concept. You know what? If God is willing, then this is what I'm going to do. We may think that we have all the answers. We may think we have all things figured out, but you know what? Somebody changes the question sometimes. The sooner we accept this notion that we can do nothing about our future without God's help, then we're going to be missing out what God desires for us to do. There is a concept to accept. There is a control to acknowledge. We must say, God, I want to give you absolute control. And there is a challenge. I think in this verse you see there's a challenge. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And, you know, there's, okay, I believe that. Okay, if God is willing, then I'll do that. And you know what? God is the one in control. But here's the next step is, this is a challenge. Okay, Lord, if this is your will, then I'm willing to do it. It might mean not my will. What did Jesus say? Not my will, Lord, but thine. We might come to this spot and say we have to lay aside some of what our dreams and some of what our desires and some of what our longing is and some of what our plans are to do what He's called you to do. I know that, you know, in my own life, I knew for many years God wanted me to be a preacher, but, you know, I had my own thoughts, my own plans and things I wanted. And I had to surrender and say, okay, Lord, I don't really think this is right for me. And I had lots of reasons. We always have reasons why we don't want to do God's will. But in my own life, there came to a spot in my life, I had to do it before it was too late. And I'm thankful. I've had the best years of my life serving the Lord. And I do not regret serving the Lord. But there had to come to a spot where I had to take this challenge that, you know, it's not just the phrase, Lord willing. It's if God wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. And if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. The next thing I want you to think about, not only is our future controlled by God, and not only is our future uncertain, uncontrollable, our future should be committed to God. Our future should be committed to God. Look what it says in verses 16 and 17. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You know, when we're boasting about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, and all these different things, we're not giving the credit to God. We're not giving the control to God. We're not saying, okay, God, this is my life. Take and use it. No, we're saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And once again, there's nothing wrong with plans, but if this is what God wants for me, then I am going to be this person. I'm going to be this teacher or this preacher or this lawyer or this doctor or this whatever it is. You can drop the thing in there, whatever occupation or whatever it is that God's called you to do. You know, there are such wonderful things. God designed all of us for a certain purpose. Is my life committed to God? We should live for God in the present. We should live for God in the present. He's telling them here, it's foolish to rejoice in your plans. It's foolish to rejoice and boast over the things that you were planning to do. But instead, we live for him in the today, day by day, as it says in verse 17, knowing to do what is good and doing what he has called us to do. I'm going to become a witness tomorrow. I'm going to sing in the choir next month, next year. And once again, I know there's sometimes plans and things that God leads, and sometimes you can't join stuff right away. But the problem is that many times we lead the future up to ourselves instead of God's providence. And we feel like, God, once I retire, I can serve you. Or once I get past these 5 years, or once I become debt free, once I become this, or once I get to this age. And you know what? God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We get to this point where we say, I'm going to live for God someday. I'm going to take. No, the answer is in this verse, it says, before it's too late, start doing the things you know you should be doing now. I've listened to many people, and most of the people I had the opportunity to be, you know, close and around are people from our church family, and many of them are godly people, and they don't live lives of regret. They do say, I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I would have been here. Many times they regret that they didn't get saved sooner or didn't consecrate sooner. And it's in this passage of scripture, and what God just kind of laid upon my heart was, before it's too late, let's remember these facts about our future. Let's prepare our lives this way, understanding that future is uncertain, the future is uncontrollable. Only God is the one that's in control of it. And we need to live for today. We need to be committed to him today. Okay, God, this is what you want. So that's the first point, is the facts about our future. Second thing I want you to think about is just a few warnings. Just a few warnings and we'll be done. There's some warnings to be careful with. Beware of self-centered planning. And some of these things will kind of intertwine, but beware of self-centered planning. See, our planning or mapping out a period of time, a place, a procedure, like you do in verse number 13. You know, the calendar is there. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. There isn't anything wrong, per se, about this. It doesn't condemn good business practices. It does condemn, you know, taking advantage of the poor. And I'm thinking here in this idea that these people don't seem like they're doing this. The only thing they do is they're leaving God out of the picture. One preacher put it this way: the biggest fool is not the man who says there's no God, but the man who says there is a God then doesn't live like it. Think about that again. The biggest fool is not the man who says there is no God, but the man who says there is a God and then doesn't live like it. Have you taken God out of your plans? James 4:15, look what it says again. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. That's a big if. Our planner doesn't ask, oh God, show me your will. Many times it says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and God, I want you to be this. I want this to be your will. It's when we go before God and say, Lord, if you want me to do this, if you lead and direct me to do this, then I will do this. That is my plan for the future. Are we asking God to bless what we're doing, or are we seeking God and saying, God, what will you bless? What is it you want me to do? How is it you want me to live? Before it's too late, we need to make sure that our planning is not self-centered. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God does lead us, God does guide us, and God promises to take care of us. Next thing I want you to see about is beware of not only self-centered planning, but beware of self-confident presumptions. Self-confident presumptions. Presuming that everything's going to be okay when we know what the Bible says here, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanisheth away. Take your Bibles to Luke chapter number 12. Most of us will be familiar with this farmer here in Luke chapter number 12. He had presumed that everything was going to be good, everything was going to be okay, and God is telling him, look, tomorrow your life is going to be required. What are you going to do then? Luke chapter 12, look at verses 13 through 20. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Verse 14 says, and he said unto a man who made me judge or a divider over you. Now listen, it says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, that's the danger. He doesn't pray and ask God, doesn't seek God. He doesn't, you know, he presumes his confidence is found in himself and in his fields, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, see, I think he makes a mistake in understanding the difference between a body and a soul. Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Our lives are like that. We don't know what tomorrow is. The Bible refers to it as a vapor. And we know of that vapor. We think about that when the boiling water, the steam comes up and you can see it just for a few seconds. Or when it's really cold outside and you can breathe and you can see that air, it's just there for a short period of time. And we don't know how long it's going to last, but and all of eternity and the reality of all how eternal life is, that our life is nothing more than just a vapor. We don't know how long we're going to be here. And God is saying in His word, make sure you're not presuming confidence. You know, we think many times when we're young that we're in health that everything's going to be okay. But many times we must learn not to presume that there is going to be a tomorrow. The rich, I'm guessing, young farmer was saying, I'm just going to do what I want. I'm not going to ask God. Next thing I want you to think about, and this will be a beware of self-complacent procrastination. Go back to the book of James, if you like, in chapter number 4. Beware of self-complacent procrastination. The Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to good, do good, and doeth not, to him it is sin. Our planner is aware of God's will, but oftentimes we just don't do it. Boasting in ourselves and all we've done, we become complacent and we think, okay, I've done all this. I don't need to do those things. But there's a difference between the sin of omission and commission. The sin of commission is referring to, you know what, that is wicked and I'm going to go ahead and do it. The sin of omission means, hey, I know I'm supposed to do that, but I'm just not going to do it. Commission is that we willfully sin, do something that we're not supposed to do. Omission means, you know what? I'm going to not do what I'm supposed to do. Both are sins. Both are just as wicked in God's eyes. And procrastination is the same sin as the sin of, same as the sin of omission. And the difference is it's very dangerous, it's very deceptive. It's a reason why many Christians are not living in God's will and not considering the future and waiting is because, you know what, the drunkenness and the stealing and the outward sins, we sit there and we look at them and we feel so sorry for them. And we're like, man, I can't believe their lives are filled with that. But all the while, inside, we've been procrastinating. Saying, I know I'm supposed to do that. And someday I plan on doing that. But I'm just going to wait. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. Tonight when we consider these things, don't put things off. The Bible says, To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And in our lives, if we are putting off what we know God has called us to do and what he wants us to do, that is a sin. I want to encourage you tonight, because don't wait too late. And before it's too late, do what he has called you to do. I've sat and listened to people tell me, I know I'm supposed to forgive that person. I just can't do it. I know I'm supposed to witness to that person. It's just too hard. I know that I'm supposed to give. I know that I'm supposed to serve. I know that I'm supposed to start treating my wife, husband better. I know that I'm supposed to him to know to do good and doeth it not. To him, it is sin. Before it's too late, let's do what God's called us to do. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.